We like to go to garage and estate sales and look for treasures. We also like to gather collectors and resellers alike and provide them with valuable information about products, many of them vintage, and share tips about how to get started and make some extra side money doing what we do. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, I'll let you do the intro.
All right, yeah, so happy Friday Junior, everyone. I'm so excited. It's my favorite day of the week, Friday Junior. We have a special guest with us today. I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. So Tori, welcome, Tori. Tori is a thrift and vintage advocate. She's a thrift educator and CEO and creator of Girly Girl Style. Together with her husband, partner, best friend, Bill, they believe that kindness and inclusivity are always in style. Their mission is to help others express their unique style by providing one-of-a-kind rescued or handmade pieces to support their philanthropic efforts and give back to their community. So welcome, Tori. We're so excited to have you here. Loving your sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I asked Bill if I wear it too much, and he's like, I don't even remember it. So that's good.
Oh, I love it. So the sweatshirt says female equals future.
That's right. Yeah. So we are actually doing a live podcast. And so we upload our podcast twice a week this year, 2021. So Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we like to come on YouTube live to record it so that we can have interaction with other, you know, resellers or those who are interested in what we're doing. It's just so much fun to have the interaction, right? So welcome, Bill, Girly Girl Style Hub. So this is actually Tori's husband, Bill, which we love and appreciate just as much as we love and appreciate Tori, Girly Girl Style herself. And actually, we wanted to start this live off with a couple of shout outs. So let's say hello to Duncan. Duncan's our official moderator. Happy Friday. It's Friday in Australia, mm-hmm. where Duncan is located. And for us, it's Friday Junior. So we're going to graduate to Friday soon, tomorrow. And a shout out to Rich, who says, hi, Tori and Duncan. And a shout out to, let's see here, New England, Betty Boop, our dear friend Lizette, mutual friends.
Hi.
She says, hello, beautiful ladies. Just popped to say hi. Hi, Lizette. Thanks for stopping by.
Robin's
and
here.
And Robin P., who is a fantastic friend that we met through another reselling friend of ours.
Amanda,
during the Poshmark's birthday party,
who's also in Washington.
So welcome, Robin, thanks for coming to hang out. So we want to show a few of the videos. So one of the things that, I mean, Tori's amazing, like where do we even start? Her creativity is boundless. It has no boundaries, and it amazes me every single day. I am constantly surprised by you, Tori, and how you actually have an idea and you make it happen. And you're just like so good at doing that. We wanted to show a few videos to our audience, if that's okay. You have quite a few videos that you publish on the regular. So if Michelle, would you like to go ahead and get that started? We're going to show the videos here.
I actually don't know how this works. Let's see.
So this is the first time we're doing a video, but
do you need a sound?
Yeah.
Yes, please. And
oh, okay. Uh-huh. Let's try this. All right, let me try this.
So just a quick background, the videos, you can access them on Instagram, Girly Girl Style. So that's Girly, G-I-R-L-Y, G-R-R-L-S-T-Y-L-E. So if you want to check them out, for those of you who are listening, Tori has a bunch of them on Instagram under, and we're going to show the ones under the reel section.
Okay.
Today, a designer vintage item. This is a Christian Dior suit. Here's a close look at the label. Head over to the vintagefashionguild.org. Bookmark it. That way you have it for later. Click the label resource. Find the designer by last name. Then read all about the history and then scroll until you find the matching label. This one was 1980s.
Wow. That was cool.
And then we have another one.
So while she's crafting.
Hang on a second. Sorry, it's not sharing. All right. I didn't realize I have to do this. There you go. Here's the next one.
She's crafting. She's crafting. And she's just my type.
She's crafting.
She's crafting.
All right. And one more.
That's cool. Okay.
Salad tip of the day. Dawn is not only great for dishes, but it is great for getting those pesky little things off of thrift store item.
Awesome. That was short and sweet, but oh, so informative. I had no idea you can remove ink pen from fabric using Dawn. That's amazing.
It's a miracle. We use it for so many things.
All right. So yeah, I love that video too, where you saw a board on Amazon. I think it was about what, $20-$30, and then you knew how to make it for replicate it for $5. How do you do that, Tori?
So that was just a crazy thing. I had that, it was gold. So being descriptive, it was gold and it held a few different things, and I love the aesthetic, but I wasn't gonna pay, I think it was 35. I wasn't gonna pay that. So I was at Dollar Tree buying supplies for my business anyway. I actually filmed a TikTok while I was there, or a reel. And I saw that they had the little baskets that would work perfectly. So immediately I just went, oh, well, if these are $1 a piece, I'll get these two, put the, you know, grab the little wire to go in it and then make it happen. So it kind of just happened by happenstance.
You make it sound so easy. We've never done anything like that before, but maybe we should just give it a try. We have a Dollar Tree nearby. We can maybe try to replicate that with your video.
So Tori, do you have like an art background, creative background? Like what, you know, was it like just like you were born like loving creative stuff, or?
I think for me, my brain can never rest. So because of my ADHD, I always have to have new projects. So I always tried a ton of things. When I was in high school, I was a photographer. So I did that and I, you know, entered competitions and that kind of thing. Then I was a singer-songwriter for a while and tried my hand at painting. That wasn't my thing. I've always had just this creative piece. But it's really funny because my dad is a scientist and my brother is really smart. And he is also, what do you call that? Artistic. So he's the drawer. He's the one that does he's a DJ. He's a poet. He does all of that. So I kind of have the best of both worlds. I'm very detail oriented and analytic, but then I also have my creative outlets.
Oh, totally detail oriented. I remember we first met you at Posh Fest, and I remember attending your little seminar because back then, like, we had no idea how to do inventory, and you really inspired us to actually have a system. Otherwise, like, it would still be a mess.
Yeah, so actually, Tori was one of the speakers at Posh Fest, right? Which, if you're not familiar, Poshmark is an app to buy and sell items, clothing
mostly. Clothes, yeah.
Or at least they started with clothing. And then they have an event, like a conference. And we visited the event in 2019, right? 2019, and that was our first time. And Michelle happened to walk in on this conference, this talk that I guess, Tori, you were a presenter in. And afterwards, she came back so excited because at that time, it was like a year after we started selling and our inventory was a mess, and you saved us from our mess. So thank you so much for doing that.
Cool.
So we're just wondering, like, you know, because you are one of the most creative people we know, if not the most creative person we know, do you have any tips for people who feel like they're not creative at all? Or do you have any advice? Or like, what are your thoughts on just creativity in general?
I think every person is creative. So I'm going to say right here that every single person on this planet is creative in some way. It's just figuring out what you enjoy, and you don't have to be good at it. I think that a lot of people, when it comes to creativity, they start to look at themselves and say, oh, I'm, like I just said before, I'm not good at painting, so I didn't want to do it, right? And I think a lot of us do that, where we think, oh, I'm not creative because I'm not creating masterpieces. But creativity isn't about making millions of dollars. I mean, some people may get money from it, but it's more about expressing yourself and feeling a feeling that you don't feel in any other aspect of your life. So my biggest advice is every person is creative, even if you are someone who is analytical and you love numbers, well, do something fun in a spreadsheet. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can be creative for sure.
Just, yeah.
It's so funny because Bill has a comment and he says, Bill, your husband says, I am not creative at all.
And he's such a liar. He's so creative, just in different ways than I am. We're just so very, yes, he is very creative.
But I appreciate you saying that because it's so true. We immediately feel like we're not very creative or crafty. And like you said, we're extremely judgmental, right? We immediately say like, oh, we're not this, we're not that. But so your recommendation is basically like, don't judge yourself and just go for it, right? And maybe find that creativity that's hiding inside. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all have this mindset where creativity is only for artists. It's only for, you know, painters and, you know, sculptor. And so that's actually my mindset when I grew up. I'm like, I'm not an art major. I'm not creative. Like, I just put myself in that category. And then, as you know, like marketing and branding, I'm like, hey, I kind of like this stuff. And then we start like exploring, you know, being creative. I'm like, hey, I guess, you know, sometimes how you grow up and how your mind is so fixed really impacts like what you're able to do. So we definitely want to hear more about like how you utilize your creativity and what kind of stuff do you do? Like, you said you always have new projects. You know, I remember like you were creating masks at some point. So how do you even like start?
I just dive in. So everyone that knows me, I'll say, oh, I have an idea. Like, this is how it starts. It's, I have an idea. And usually when I say I have an idea, I've already started it. So this is kind of just like, I have this idea, but since my brain never sleeps, I've already thought of the 10 different ways I'm going to pursue it or try it. And I just dive in. And, you know, that impulsivity can sometimes lead to heartbreak. Like if I start something and then I realize I'm not good at it, I go back to painting because it's the one time where I was like, I just don't want to do it anymore. But then like I started embroidering when we started isolation last year. I had never embroidered and I took it up and just started doing it. Like I didn't even, I'm a doer. So I can't sit down and read all the instructions and figure out. I just started. And then I started, you know, watching videos and seeing clips and getting into it. So I feel like we just have to do it. You just have to unleash it and just start. Same advice for people that want to get creative on YouTube or, you know, do an Instagram live. It's all the same thing. You're just expressing yourself and you just have to let it go. Let it out there in the world.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like kids are like that. Like they just do stuff and they don't judge themselves, right?
I've been called like a kindergarten teacher. I've been called a kindergarten teacher by most of my friends for so long because of that, because that mindset is very similar to a child.
I think it's fantastic. Like if we could all be that way as adults, like how much more fun? It seems like you have a lot of fun doing it. And again, it's amazing to see you. To us, you totally are an artist in a very large way. So a quick question, continuing on that thought of creativity, have you always been that way since you were a kid?
I mean, as far as I can think back, when I was younger, it was thrifting and clothing. So again, I always wanted to be artistic when I was younger. Oh, photography, I said, but my dad wasn't really into it. He was a single dad. I was kind of raising my brother while he worked. So we didn't have that. But I would do things like get rocks out of the yard and play with rocks and create little like communities with rocks and different people. So I feel like I've always been able to be creative, maybe because I didn't have a lot growing up. So we had to be creative.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's really cool. All right. So let's move on to your brand, Girly Girl Style. Your brand name is it's you. You're very stylish, you and your husband both. Where did that name come from?
So that name took a lot of thought. So one thing, as both of you know, like from branding, from before I started the business, I sat down and I did all of the brain circles and I was like, here's a list of all the things that represent me. What do I really want to portray to the world? What's going to have longevity? So for me, I love all things girly. You know, I mean, I love androgyny. Oh my gosh, that huge thing. But I feel like I connect a lot with bows and the hyper feminine aspect, that girly piece. And then the girl, the G-R-R-L, is from riot girl culture. So my feminism was able to come through. So it's kind of the contrast where you have this super girly, you know, aspect, but then you also have this like, yeah, you know, I'm really strong and independent. And then of course the style was the, I had to have something on there to kind of tie it all together. So that's where that name came from.
Oh, wow. Thanks for explaining that.
That's awesome.
So is the riot girl culture, can you tell us a little bit more about that? We're not super familiar with it.
Yeah. So riot girl culture, back in the 90s, very strong feminism, you know, lots of artists, lots of music. So when you think of like Bikini Kill is a group that you would think of, there's many, many others, but it really was. And I was, you know, I was younger. I wasn't out there doing all the things, but definitely it's just really empowering girls to be strong and be like, have that voice. And back then it was kind of hard.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I was definitely a huge fan of No Doubt and Gwen Stefani back in the 90s. So I don't know if that's like the tail end of it.
A little after. Yeah, a little after. This is more like, I think, maybe late 80s. If I look up the history, I'm horrible with recall, by the way. I can't remember anything. I have to look. I know how to use my resources.
And then Girly Girl Sahab says she spent forever to come up with her brand. Wow. So it's very thought. I mean, as you just explained it, extremely thoughtful and well planned out. Yes. I mean, we spent time too coming up with ours, and we wanted to make sure it was, like you said, it had longevity and could be applied to multiple different things in case we decided we hated reselling one day and we wanted to do something else. Yeah. Right? Same, right?
Yeah. And same thing. I wanted to make sure it could span multiple, you know, because I'm not, you know, we are small business owners. We have stores. There's many things that we do, but the Girly Girl Style brand is more of like a brand and not just a business. And I also knew because, you know, the GRRL, you should never do anything that is hard to spell that people can't figure out, but it was just such an important part of it. I had to do it. So it was a faux pas, but it still works.
Hey, you know, that also makes you unique. You know what I mean? It's sometimes that makes people remember who you are. It's the different spelling, right? But something that is really like awesome about you is that you are so on brand with everything you do. Whether it's like your Poshmark closet or your Instagram page or like the arts and crafts that you do, they all like reflect who you are, which is so awesome.
Yeah, we definitely really appreciate that you do that, and you're building a brand, which doing that, as you already know, will allow businesses for an exit, right? So if you do build some kind of a business and later on you want to pass it along, you would be able to do that having a brand. But there's just, it's just so valuable in so many different ways. So when we see your name though, Girly Girl Style, we immediately just feel, we feel your energy. We feel happy. We feel yeah, she's smiling. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's what you're wanting to do, right? So we're just wondering, you know, you are, along that note, you're just such a positive person and energy online. Is this just, and Bill's here, right? So is this just who you are naturally?
Yeah, I mean, it is. 100, everyone, I think Aaron's here too. Aaron can attest, Bill can attest. This is just who I am. 100%. I wake up and it can be a little frustrating, I think, for some of my friends, because I've, you know, in the past that's come up where I was always super positive and optimistic when maybe they were looking for more of like a someone to be a little bit different. But I think that that's also when you're talking about the success of my brand, it's because of authenticity and everything goes together. It's not because I'm trying. I see people all the time say, okay, get your templates together and get your, all your things in order so that when you post and make your Instagram all match. And I'm like, I don't do that. I could never have time to do that. So it's all about genuineness, authenticity. If you are yourself, it's going to come across in everything you do.
Yeah. Agree. And we're in the year 2021. So like Instagram's been around for how long now? 10, 15, 20 years. I don't even know, right? It's been around for a while, and definitely like having that type of, you know, I guess I was going to say closet. It's not a closet. It's Poshmark. The page where you're posting extremely curated pictures doesn't come off as authentic anymore, right? So I do appreciate you saying that about being yourself. And yeah, I mean, it's when you can answer a question like that, like that's just who I am. And that's just, it just shines through. Like there's no question that it's being curated. Like that's just who you are. So yeah, it's very appreciated. Now, Bill, Girly Girl Style Hub says maybe a day a year. She isn't so positive, but 364 days. Aww. Yes.
I'm allowed one day.
That's awesome. I want to add to the point where you talk about, you know, the importance of branding. It's not about following templates. And it's really about sending the message to the people who are, you know, your followers or your audience, and keep that message consistently throughout everything you do. That is really the key. It's not really about template. And yeah, maybe sometimes color is a deal, but I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to branding.
Yes. So. And I do want to add to that too. Don't get me wrong. I have all of my hex codes, and I mean, I know what colors I use. I know what images I use. I have my stickers and my branding. I have all of that, but I don't think about that because it's just, you know, it's just what comes out. Everything's pink and green, right? Like, yeah, those are my colors.
Yeah, no, and that is on brand, because you're not going to come out and have like everything in black all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Because that's who you are. So that's so interesting. And I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. So we were just wondering, Tori, like what got you into thrifting? And because, you know, we've heard you mention a few times that you've been doing it for a while. So what got you into it, and how long have you been thrifting?
So I have been thrifting, I would say, for over 30 years. So by the way, I'm going to be 45 in a little bit next week. I think next week, maybe the 13th. So I've been doing it a while. And it really started off with a need. I was someone who loved clothing. And since we didn't have money and I had a single dad and a brother, I didn't have anywhere to get clothes. So the only way I was going to be able to get clothes is if, you know, I was able to take the money that I earned and go to the thrift store. And so that's how it started. But I also knew the value of good clothing. So it wasn't that I was just going to buy clothing. I went in also with that mindset that, look, I don't have a lot of money. So if I'm going to buy something, it needs to be quality so that I can resell it to like Buffalo Exchange and get something else. Because in high school, I was actually known for having a huge wardrobe, which was funny because I did not. It was just about being able to, you know, do what we do now back in the 90s and just recycle my wardrobe over and over without waste. So it came from a necessity is where it came from.
Wow. So how did you get into like knowing what brands to choose and what designs, what quality is good? Did you like do research?
No, that took a while, but I will say when I was 18, I did work at a buy sell trade store. So there was some education there. I actually became a manager really fast. So surprise, surprise. I've always been very, you know, go get them. So I did that when I was 18. So that gave me some education there. I actually paid for a semester of college with eBay back in the day. Like we don't do eBay, and you probably know, we talk about this. I'm like, oh, it's not my place. But I paid for a semester of community college, but still selling like designer jeans that I would get at Last Chance in Arizona, and I would sell them then. So, and then I also was a manager at Buffalo Exchange, so like a big name when I was in college. So I was able to get some of that, more of the educational piece of it, just from practical application.
Oh, wow. That's huge. Yeah. That explains, like, I mean, you're really strong in your knowledge of thrifted and vintage brands, which we'll get into in a minute. But
yeah,
are you gonna say something, Michelle?
Yeah, it's really the best to get hands-on experience, because it's not in a book, it's like real life. You know exactly what people like and don't like. Super cool. Do you remember what was the first thing you sold?
The first thing I sold
on eBay
the day It was a pair of jeans. I'm sure it was a pair of like Big Star jeans, because that was the big brand back then that was selling True Religion and Big Star. Those are the jeans that I was picking up.
Around like what year was that? If you don't mind.
94.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. At that time, I remember I was wearing like Tommy Hilfiger a lot.
True Religion?
No, I was like 13 and I didn't know True Religion at that time.
Yeah, they had the big things like the horseshoes on the back. They were really popular. Oh, the Doc Martens.
Yes, those I definitely did wear, the Doc Martens. I had my one pair, right? So, yeah. And so Bill, your husband, said she taught me how to thrift, and that's from a sporty guy who doesn't shop for clothing. Very cool. Well, yeah. She's teaching us a lot too on all of her channels.
Hey you, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what you hear, please take a second to rate our podcast. Our podcast is fairly new and we're in need of comments. If you can think of anyone an episode may be helpful for, please share the episode with them. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program. And again, a million thanks for stopping by.
You're on Instagram, you have a YouTube account. You're really active on TikTok as well. Are those the main platforms for social media that where anyone can find you?
Yes. So YouTube for sure, Instagram, yes. And then TikTok, I don't know what's been happening, but I've had videos getting like 72,000 views and 5,000. Like, it's just been crazy. But it's, again, I think that we go back to that authenticity and I'm just sharing what I know. And I love TikTok because it's helped me discover brevity, and I'm a talker, and my day job, I make videos, and my videos are normally like 2 to 3 minutes long. So being able to convert a YouTube video, which is 45 minutes typically, into like a 15-second video, it's been a nice little learning experience.
You've already mastered it though. I mean, like that Dawn commercial,
yeah. The Dawn
tip. Yeah. That was at like 5 seconds, and then it's a really valuable tip for any person that does laundry.
And we also heard that you're on Clubhouse.
Oh yeah, and I forgot about Clubhouse. I don't do Clubhouse often because when I first was on Clubhouse, which was just a few weeks ago now, but it feels like forever, I was on it for like days in a row, and I was just so on it. So now I'm limiting myself to like, okay, once a week maybe, or pop in, but yeah, it just sucks you in. And people, especially when you go up on panel, and I feel that it's weird. I was telling Bill before we went live, I said, yeah, when I do lives, I don't get nervous. This feels natural for me. It feels like we're in a living room, but on Clubhouse, I get the biggest butterflies. Like, I feel like I'm getting called on in school, and it's so weird.
Yeah, so we talked about Clubhouse a couple of weeks ago in one of our lives, but it's like a new up and coming social media app, and it's voice only. So if you haven't gotten on there, go ahead and get on there, get your screen name. And are you girly girl style on there as well? If anybody wants to follow you.
Everywhere. Yeah. I'm everywhere. So lucky.
That's fantastic.
See what I mean by the GRRO? Hey.
And the website. So I also have the website. So that goes back to also branding, making sure when you brand, you make sure your domain is available. So that's kind of like my landing page where you can find everything. And again, that's girlygirlstyle.com. So that is also a really good tip. When you're branding, make sure that you get that domain. Even if you aren't doing anything with it right away, make sure you get it.
True. Good tip. Thank you for sharing that. We have a question from Irish Lux Poshmark. She says, a comment, love the hairband, Tori, hashtag repurpose. Happy birthday too. My birthday is next week too. 55, grandma face.
So many
grandma
birthdays. Marina's birthday is tomorrow.
Yes, it's my birthday tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
So happy birthday, all the February birthdays.
Yes.
So I'll show off my headband. So this was a pair of yoga pants that had a hole, and they were stained, and they were bound for the landfill. So last night after my day job, I was like, I need to do something creative that I can finish in 5 minutes and have a completed project. So I sat down, I filmed a TikTok, put it on Reels, and made this in like 5 minutes. I was like, I have to do this.
How many headbands did you get out of the yoga pants? Is it one?
So I've only made one. I've only made one, but okay. I'm sure I have enough for a couple more. But this was just more of like getting
it's
it done.
Cute. It's so cute.
That is so awesome.
It's so cute.
I wish I had that talent. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then, here you go.
Me too. Because then I would ask you, hey, can you help me build a tiny house?
Yeah.
I want to build a tiny house. You would do it, right, Tori?
I don't know. That's a lot of attention, and I need to have those check marks. So for me, that's why the fast projects are so great, because I get the check mark right away.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Oh, right. Yeah, we're all turning 25 this month, all of us, right?
Duncan says, Marina, happy 25th birthday.
So wanted to ask you about, so you have your beautiful sweater that says female
equals
future. Is that a vintage sweater? Okay, just wondering.
No, this one was one I've had it for a few years. I actually think I might have purchased it on Poshmark right before PoshFest 2019 because okay. I wanted to wear it. It was part of, yeah, but I've got my vintage dress back here that I need to do something with because it has a hole, but not wearing vintage right now.
Oh, okay. So you have that beautiful sweater that I absolutely love. And then you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg
yeah.
in the back there on your calendar?
Yes. Bill got me this for Christmas. It's a month, 12 months of quotes and paintings and art of RBG. So yeah, it's super cool.
Awesome. And then, your name, Girly Girl Style, and then mention of Riot Girl culture. So there's a lot there about, I guess, is it feminism? Is that?
Yeah. Or,
yeah. So
absolutely feminism.
Tell us more about that, because it's really strong, and we're learning here. And we also are into supporting, women and women who have small businesses, like such as yourself. So please share with us, on that, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. So it's funny, going back to how I came up with my name, when I originally started my YouTube channel, which kind of everything happened at the same time, fashion feminism and financial freedom, those were my bullet points. That was like my mission statement for my YouTube channel when I first started. And the feminine aspect really is, anyone can be feminist. It's not women. When I was younger, I would definitely get made fun of for it. People would say that I was a man hater, all the things that you hear about feminism. Even recently, I did get a comment on YouTube that said something about feminism. I was like, really? Still? Essentially, all it means is, that I want to make sure that we are all together in the world that's making a better place for women and girls, and that we don't have to be afraid, just a little bit, like to be able to walk outside, to be able to be on the same playing field as everyone else. But it also has a lot of other things involved, like making sure that we have equal rights for everybody and, rights for many different things. So I don't want to get political, but it definitely is just more of it's about equality and love. I think overall feminism is about love, and that's really something for me, supporting other women.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding as to the definition of the term, so I'm glad that you explained that. And I've seen some male feminists, and like celebrity male feminists, and they explain that. They just say, like, I just want equal rights for women, and that's it. It doesn't mean all those negative things that some, claim that it means, like you said. So yeah, thanks for clearing that up. Same thing, like equal rights, human rights, women rights, 100%. We're women, so of course, we
yeah,
we agree with that.
So interesting too, because you grew up with your father and your brother, right? So did any like figure inspire you? Like, did anyone who kind of inspired you to kind of want to go there?
What's super interesting to me, so this is a funny question that you ask. I think about when I was younger, who my idols were. Obviously, my dad, he still is. My family is one of the closest things to me. They're like my best friends next to Bill. But having a dad and a brother that were very much into, equality with women, I was always treated the same. I was always made to feel so smart and so independent. That right there made me feel so important. And then the people that I always wanted to be when I was younger was like Billy the Kid. like all Ferris Bueller. Like there were mostly male icons because I didn't have a lot of those strong, you know, you're able to be funny and still be successful kind of role model. So I was always attracted to that. Then I went to college and I took my first women's studies course and I was blown away at what I had been missing from, you know, women writers and artists and musicians. And so I feel like there's so many different people out there that we can learn from, whether it's, you know, different genders or whatever. It's just listening to other people and respecting each other.
Honestly. Oh, that's so cool. Thanks for telling us about your dad and brother and how amazing, you know, that they raised you that way. They must be amazing, amazing people. So that's really cool.
They are.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. Thank you for that. Duncan, our moderator, is asking if you can provide some reselling tips.
Oh.
I'd like to know, yeah.
Clarify.
I think she provides a lot on her reels. If you check out her reels, there's a lot of reselling tips on there.
Yeah. And I think, Duncan, so the question you said is, do you have 5 reselling tips? For me, being someone who's very much into thrift education, that is what I've been focusing on. So things like if you're thrifting, how do you thrift? A lot of people, so as a reseller, you need to figure out how you're going to source. I'm a thrifter. I've always been this way. We've talked about this. So I focus more on how do you go and find those items to resell. So being educated, touching fabric, you know, those type of things. And then going back to being organized as a reseller, know your numbers, know your books, have an inventory system. I think that that is so important. And then also networking with fellow resellers. Because this is one of those businesses where you are, you know, you're kind of on your own, you're online. So having coworkers and fellow business owners, whether it's resellers that you can learn from or, you know, other small business owners, I think is so important. So I think there was more than 5 there, but just some for you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I do have a question when you go sourcing, because you really pick really unique items. And you also make arts and crafts out of it sometimes. So when you source, do you actually think, I'm going to sell this? Or do you immediately think like, oh, I'm going to make like a bow out of this? Or like, how does that work, that thought process?
So usually when I'm sourcing, because I am right now the primary sourcer for both of our stores. So letting the audience know. So we have 2 different Poshmark closets or stores. One is Modern Contemporary, and that's the one that is called Flower and Anchor. That's the one that Bill manages. And then we have Girly Girl Style, which is primarily handcrafted and vintage. So when I go out sourcing, I have to be aware of everything. I'm looking for, are these Patagonia Capelines, are these going to sell? Are they in good condition? Is this vintage sweater from the 60s? What is this? Is this something that will sell right now? So I'm looking at everything when I'm sourcing so that I can provide for both of our stores. I don't typically look for things to upcycle unless it's like a t-shirt. So right now I have this wild idea to take t-shirts that are kind of damaged and do some embroidering around the collar to make them more, you know, sellable and cute. But usually what happens with upcycling is I'll get something home and there'll be a damage or stain and I'm not going to take them back to the landfill. So that's how that occurs.
Got it. Yeah. So when you are sourcing, and we say sourcing is really just going to the store and buy stuff to resell, how do you identify vintage items? Like initially what goes through your mind where you're like, oh, this might be vintage?
So many things. So a lot of it is aesthetic. So when you're going down an aisle, so one of my favorite first tips for someone who's never been thrifting before is to go down an aisle. And I actually hang up a TikTok on this, but go down an aisle and just pull everything that stands out to you. So take your hand and shop with your hand. And I know some people think this is odd, but when you go through a rack and something stands out to you or you feel something that feels good, it might be like cashmere, or it might be lyocell, it might be something silk that you may not even know that this is a fabric that is expensive. So you start with your hands and any of those patterns and fabrics that are going to stand out to you. And then that's when you can get into the more, you know, nitty gritty details. Like, what does the label look like? Does it have bubble like letters that makes it look like it's more 80s? Is it a very, does it have an International Ladies Garment Workers Union label? That might mean something that it's really vintage. The notions, what kind of buttons and zippers does it have? So there's so many things you look at, but this is all why you just want to start, pick something that's easier for you. And for me, fabrics and patterns is what I'm always drawn to. And then I go through the other process after.
Oh, cool. And do you have any like websites you recommend for people to reference like vintage items or tags off the top of your head? Do you have any?
I do. The Vintage Fashion Guild. Vintage Fashion Guild, right there. They are an amazing resource. Also, if you use it, I would say, you know, they take donations. You don't have to, everything's free, but it is such an amazing resource. I use it all the time. Also, if you search, there is another site, sammydvintage.com, and she has so many resources for just looking at labels and fabrics. And I think that, especially if you're just starting out and learning, those two right there would make a huge difference.
And what platform do you sell those items on?
So I am Poshmark primarily, and I just reopened my Etsy store. So my store was closed for a while because I was trying to figure it out. You know, it's kind of like, do I have time for both? And I just reopened and I did make a sale last month, but hey, because I'm not focusing on it as much, I was happy to make the one sale. But yes, Poshmark is my primary platform for my vintage.
Awesome. So Thrifting by Rich has a question. He's asking, what material sells the best?
That's a great question. You know what? It really depends because there's so many other factors. Just like, I feel like you couldn't say which brand sells the best because it's like, well, what other factors were involved? Was it a style? Was it, you know, more modern or more, you know, have a more of a 60s look to it? So for me, fabric, it's very, I don't know. Cause some people like wool. I can't wear wool. So I'm never going to buy wool for myself because it just itches, but I like acrylic, and acrylic, you know, it doesn't breathe and some people don't like it, but I think it just depends on the item for sure.
So we're going to show a quick picture here on the screen. Yeah. Michelle's going to go ahead and display it. All right. So here's a beautiful three shots of how you wore, I think it's one outfit and you turned it into three different styles. Am I correct on this?
Yeah, this actually was an unbranded three-piece set that was a sleeveless shirt, a sweater, or an open face or open front cardigan, and a midi elastic waist skirt, all in teal. All together, it was a little overwhelming. So I broke it up.
It's so beautiful. I mean, I could see just off of this post here why people in high school thought that you had a huge wardrobe, because you took one outfit and turned it into three totally completely different outfits. It's amazing. It is so cool how you're able to do that. Wow. And so you model a lot of your clothes, or do you model all of the clothes that you sell?
I would love to model all of them. However, here in Spokane, Washington, where we are, we have really cold winters, snowstorms and that kind of thing. And so being able to get outside when it's cold, my body doesn't like it. So if I could, I would. So I try as much as I can. But sometimes, and plus, I'm trying to get to the point where if it's not listed, it's not selling. So I'm listing it. And then if I can go back and do a model shot, I will. I'm trying to be more business minded.
Like that. Yes. Like that a lot. All right. And Michelle, did you have something you wanted to say?
I do want to chat about the why, because, you know, we always talk about why are you doing this? Why? So you and Bill, that you guys both resell for a purpose. Would you mind talking about that?
Yeah. For us, it's about giving back. So we are lucky enough. I have an amazing job that I, you know, worked hard to get to, and we are debt free. And that was something else. The two of us worked so hard and we had so many obstacles, and we do have two mortgages. So we're debt free, but you know, a lot of camps will not include mortgages because you would have to pay for rent anyway. But it's one of those things that we are in such a privileged position, and we both grew up you know, without as much as a lot of people. So I have always been an advocate of giving back no matter what, even when we didn't have anything. And now that we actually have the means to do so, this is really a huge passion of ours. So last year, we actually gave all 100% of our business profit to charities, to multiple charities throughout the year, everything from the NAACP to our local charities, the Odyssey youth movement here that does a lot with LGBTQ youth in our community right up the street. So we just feel like we can give back and make the world, and I'm going to sound like Barbie, but make the world a better place. That's really the reason that we do what we do.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think every it doesn't matter if it's a big or a small thing, but anything that you do out of kindness and love and generosity is going to make the world better, right? So we can only do what we can do, and that's it. And so I mean, we appreciate the example that you and Bill are setting in our community, and you know, in kind of like our age group, and just as human beings, you guys are really high, like up here, when it comes to how we view you guys, and we appreciate you so much. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for sharing about that, and everyone who's listening is going to be inspired for sure. Noreen, Irish Lux Poshmark says, "Have you ever had to get something authenticated before you listed it? And what platform did you use?" Good question.
I haven't, because we don't typically sell a lot of the things that need to be authenticated. So that's one other thing, that if I find designer pieces that have a designer label, I get a little nervous with modern designer. With vintage designer, so I just listed a vintage Christian Dior suit. It's from the 80s. It's not that pretty, but it definitely is unique. And so looking at all of the, you know, the fabric and the stitching and the label, comparing it on Vintage Fashion Guild, I felt confident listing that. And it's not going to go for a lot as well. So for me, no, I haven't had anything authenticated. I did buy something that had to be authenticated, but it's just not in our business model. We don't find a lot of those higher end pieces.
So does that website, Vintage Fashion Guild, tell you like what something is worth for you to resell, or how do you figure out the prices on your items?
No, research. So just like with, if you're reselling modern items or vintage, you do your research. You look to see, you know, go to Etsy, see what people are selling, go to eBay, but also you have to remember what your items are worth too, because some people, like on Poshmark, will sell these amazing vintage pieces for so little because it's not their passion. So you still want to keep that in mind. And Bill, that's the one thing about the business, not the one, but one of the biggest things. He is helping me so that I price my items for what they're actually worth.
Oh, that's fantastic. Glad to hear that. How do you actually find that on Etsy? Like, do they have sold comps there? Or?
No, it's more of what people are listing them for. So I look, so for example, today I was looking up this vintage 1960s Janssen sweater. And I like looked it up on Google Lens, first of all, because Google Lens will bring up a ton of different items that are similar. And so then I was just going to Etsy and looking at what everyone had it listed for, looking at the price range. And, you know, mine was super unique compared to what everyone else was. So I did list mine a little higher than what the average listing was. And again, I think you have to be mindful of not just the brand or the you know, popularity, but what the style is.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. I learned something new. Well, a lot of things new. We're going to actually go ahead and share another picture.
Oh, no.
And who is this? Well, first of all, you are right here. This was when your hair was a little shorter, but you look beautiful as usual. And who's the handsome person next to you?
Oh, that's the Hubs. That's Bill. We were at a charity ball. When we were in Seattle, we used to go to so many charity balls all the time. I do miss those. So those that are listening on the podcast, we are both dressed up to the nines. Bill is wearing a velvet suit and a wooden bow tie. And then I have on a dress that is navy blue and like a princess dress. I loved it.
A wooden bow tie. I've never seen that before. Did you get that at a thrift store?
No, I ended up getting that one. It might have been Etsy or maybe Amazon. I don't know. It had an American flag in the center. So we know Bill is a veteran. And so anytime I can find something that's patriotic. And so this was a really special bow tie. I think he still has it.
It's cool. It's made out of wood, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's so cool. I have one myself that I wear, but it's more like polka dots and wood. But yeah, you can find them and they're so unique.
That's awesome. And we have a video we're going to show. This is a final video. Okay. Let's get to it. All right.
I ordered a sofa and it's been like a month and it's finally here. Look how empty, we're ready. See, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, it's so pretty. Lily already likes it.
So one of the things you guys accomplished last year is you purchased a new home, right, in your area. And how are you liking your home? How's it working out for you guys?
Oh my goodness. We are so happy. So this, you know, we had a few houses that we thought we loved before we found this one, but this is just, it has, we have a studio, a dedicated studio for photography. Bill has an office, but it's our guest room office. Then I am in my office right now. And then we have a detached shop. So all of our inventory and all of our bins and all the boxes and all of that, for the most part, are out in the shop. So we can't wait until it warms up again because we want to do some more work. But we really, 1902 Victorian, it's beautiful. Oh, yes. Love it.
And you were living in a cool apartment before with beautiful views, but it was much, not, I don't know much, but your home seems very large. It seems like you moved to a very large home. So, yes. with all these
and it's good. During isolation, because now, like, Bill is downstairs right now with Lily, and so I'm able to be upstairs, you know, doing my day job or whatever. He can be downstairs. Oh, yeah, I forgot to even mention, we have a basement. We even have a basement that's, like,
that's so cool.
I've kind of taken it over. I play Fruit Ninja and do yoga downstairs in the basement.
I love that.
You know that game?
Yeah.
It's my exercise, by the way. It is my exercise routine. Bill always laughs at me, but I'm like, I'm going to do 15 minutes of Fruit Ninja tonight, so I'll be back.
What is Fruit Ninja?
It's like you got to chop the fruits.
Really? And
you gotta, like, with your arm.
Yeah. Oh, no, Marina's going to get into it.
I'm probably going to watch it.
It's so much fun. I'm not even kidding.
And tell us about Lily. In the video, there was a beautiful dog. Is this Lily?
That is Lily. She is our rescue pup. So we rescued her. She rescued us. I want to say four or five years ago. I'm horrible with the dates, but great story with her. So Bill and I have actually had two previous dogs before Lily, and both of them passed away, you know, at different times. And so we weren't sure if we were ready to get another dog. And I was checking the rescue website, and there was a story about this dog who was hit by a car, who was pregnant at the time, who was, you know, overcame all of these obstacles, had to have surgery because she got an infection while she was pregnant, and all these things. And then the article just said she is such a kind and strong and amazing dog. And so I reached out to them, and there was a wait list to meet her. And miraculously, the wait list opened up and we got to go meet her. And when we met her, it was immediate. And my thing, she had to be playful and she had to love Bill. Those are my two things. And she played with a ball and she put her head on Bill's lap while we were there. And I was done. So she's an angel. She sleeps with us. She's cool.
We love dogs.
Yeah, we love dogs. Our dogs sleep with us too. So we can relate.
I know.
They deserve it. I'm
kidding. They take quite a bit of space. Yeah. All right.
That was a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to do some fire questions to end this live. We've had a really fun time with you. Thank you so much again. And are you ready for the fire questions?
So, let's go.
Yeah, she looks like she is. All right.
She looks like she's about to play Fruit Ninja. All right. If you could buy any type of food right now, what would you buy?
Oh, my goodness. Well, so for my birthday, I'm having Sonic, which I know is a weird thing. We don't eat fast food a lot. So all I'm thinking about is Sonic, but sushi. I'm going to say sushi because sushi is like my go-to.
Aww. Okay. All right. So if you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
Oh. These questions are so hard. I don't know. I'm imagining.
I don't really fire questions.
a bird, maybe, so that I could fly and see the world from up above.
Who's your favorite superhero and why?
Captain Marvel.
Hmm.
I love Captain Marvel. I love the origin story. I think that she is an amazing superhero, not because she's a woman, but because she, I just love her. So yes, Captain Marvel is my favorite.
And what is one thing you would put on your bucket list?
I try to do everything already so that I don't have to do the bucket list, but I don't know, maybe write a book.
Hmm, nice. That's a good one. Who do you admire the most?
Ooh, there's so many. I'm going to go with my dad. We always go with the safe answer. My dad, like I said, he is brilliant, loving. You know, he's a little cantankerous at times, but, you know, aren't we all? So, yes, my dad.
Oh, awesome. That. All right. So we're going to end it there. Yes, we're good. You have one more? We have one more. Sorry, we have a bonus fire question. if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
So I am very much a stay-at-home person. I love, what I would say is I would be anywhere that I could be surrounded by all the people I love. So wherever that is, I would be completely happy no matter where I was, as long as it was warm.
All right. Well, thanks so much again, Tori, for your time. It was so much fun getting to know you and spending time with you. And Bill and everyone else who joined us today, thank you so much. And for those listening, thank you as well. So we look forward to the next time that we get to do this. And have a beautiful rest of your evenings. It's Friday Junior. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time to share how sales went this week and a surprise be on the lookout item. If you guys have any recommendations at all, please go ahead and send us an instant message on Instagram. We are Flipping Gals with 1G there, and be sure to follow
Tori,
Girly Girl Style. Again, it's Girly, G-I-R-L-Y. Girl is G-R-R-L, and Style, S-T-Y-L-E on her website, on Poshmark, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Everyone here, please follow her. And also check out their modern closet, her and her husband's modern closet, which is called Flower and Anchor on Poshmark also. So thanks again. Hope you have a wonderful and beautiful night.
Thanks, Tori.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Like, share, and direct message us during the week if you want to talk to us or even have questions about getting started on reselling yourselves.